Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let us continue the series of our press conferences running up for the annual general meeting. Today, we're going to discuss production matters. Your speakers today are Deputy CEO Vitaly Markelov, Executive Committee members, heads of departments Oleg Aksutin, Vyacheslav Michalenko, and Vsevolod Cherepanov, Deputy Head of Department, Head of Directorate Yuriy Lebedev. The background executive summary is in the handouts. Hopefully, you have read it. So let's pass directly to Q&A. Do you have any questions on 2016, on 2017? Question from TASS, journalist. In your recent report, you restated your production guidance to 442 for this year. Shall we expect this new guidance to be further expanded? The question is taken by Vitaly Markelov. You know, we work to respond to market changes in terms of supply and demand in particular. For this year, we plan a target of about 430 billion cubic meters. Now we have good demand from Europe, so we're running ahead of our exporting targets already. We also see our production to be expanding this year due to big volumes of underground storage in Europe and in Russia. Last winter, the offtake was quite big, so today we deliver a lot more gas to underground storage facilities. So there will be some adjustments, but our production capabilities are sufficient to cover all the possible demand for this year. Follow-up: when are you going to restate the number? In Q2? Speaker, we do it as needed, when and as relevant, based on the demand. Nedra Publishing House. Journalist, I wrote an article on Yamal and I failed to find information on Gazprom's infrastructure investments in Yamal. I know that you have constructed a unique bridge over there, so could you please tell me how much you have invested and are going to invest going forward in the Yamal Peninsula's infrastructure? Mr. Markelov, a lot of work has been done in the Yamal, and we've really delivered, well, extended infrastructure, including a 1,000 kilometers railroad with that unique bridge you're talking about. As part of it, we delivered an airport, our first unique airport beyond the polar circle. We are constructing residential housing dorms for the Bavanenko Fields staff. We understand that Yamal is going to be developing in the direction of Kharasavay. In the other prospective fields, I'm not ready to give you an investment number from the top of my head, but the investments have been and are quite heavy, and quite big amounts of investment are earmarked for the coming 10 years, because Yamal is going to be our core gas province. So we're going to be delivering both production infrastructure and gas transportation capabilities in Yamal. Question from Energy Intelligence, journalist. My question is also about the Yamal, about the Tambay group of fields. Which development options are you considering now, specifically in terms of gas processing? Are you going to construct a gas processing plant locally or a pipeline to an alternative gas processing site? Have you made any preliminary estimates for CapEx for such projects? And are you going to produce any liquefied natural gas there? If yes, are you going to do that together with Rosgazdobycha or any other partners? And are you having any negotiations with Novatek currently? I understand that my questions are numerous, but this is my focus. And by the way, when can you start actually producing gas from those fields, Mr. Markelov? Thank you. Yeah, your questions are really numerous. Get hard to embrace them all. The Tambeyskoye group of fields is big. We have added some reserves over there, by the way. Just like the Bavanenkovo field, the Tambeyskoye group of fields is going to be our core production engine going forward in the midterm. Today, we are considering a comprehensive development of that field, including gas processing. A memorandum with Rosgazdobycha has been signed, so we are running relevant studies into production, processing, transportation, liquefaction of gas are being considered. Based on the results of the studies, we'll choose the best option. You know all our projects. This is Train 3 at Sakhalin, Baltic LNG. We do not have any other LNG projects currently, and we're not considering any. I mean, large tonnage LNG. So we'll look at it as a global picture, as a comprehensive, all-inclusive picture. Follow up: have you talked to Novatek about joint production in those fields, Mr. Markelov? No, we are not talking to Novatek about any such projects. As yet, we're going to develop the fields in question with our own resources, with no partners engaged. Next question from Vedomosti. Another question on the Tambeyskoye group of fields. Why Rosgazdobycha was the partner you signed your memorandum with? Why have you chosen this company to support you in developing those fields, Mr. Markelov? This is actually a follow-up on the previous question. We have signed a memorandum on comprehensive development of the field to recover liquid hydrocarbons, natural gas, to deliver the full value chain covering upstream, midstream, and downstream to process gas to methane, propane, to propane and butane. Rosgazdobycha is engaged in all relevant R&D resources to take a deep dive in the matter and is acting as a technology partner for Gazprom. A follow-up question: do you already understand how the funding will be allocated, Mr. Markelov? No, we are now running feasibility studies, and these questions are yet to be answered going forward. The next question is from RBC. So you have the South Kirinskaya field. So whose resource base is it going to be? Of Sakhalin 2 for some internal needs or for the new pipeline of Sakhalin to Hokkaido? I mean, the prospective project. Which resource base is going to be there? And by the way, now there are sanctions, so are there any innovations in geological exploration, maybe some new reserves? Do you understand how resources of that field will be allocated, Mr. Markelov? Sakhalin 3 or the South Kirinskaya field is our core field in the Okhotskaya Sea, so we consider this field as a basis to meet the gas consumption needs of Russia's and especially Russian Far East population. We're running now this project, and we certainly see it as a resource base to expand the operations at Sakhalin 2. Primarily, we will strive to meet the gas consumption needs of the Russian population, the Russian communities. As for the pipeline to Hokkaido, we know that there are some offers or even suggestions or ideas about delivering a pipeline to Japan. As yet, we're not considering that. We're not talking about supplying gas to our own in-house consumers in the Russian Far East, our local population. Another question. You have recently been to China together with Alexei Miller, and you talked about constructing new underground gas storage facilities and power plants. So could you please give us some color about those underground gas storage facilities? How many? Where? Who's going to invest in those? I've seen a kind of a high-level press release. Speaker, I'm sorry, this is not a subject of this press conference. We will be happy to discuss it with you on the 8th of June, talking about Eastern projects. Any other questions, colleagues? Next question from Prosperity Capital Management. I get a couple of questions. The first one is about the resource base and fields. In the mid-term and long-term, what is your main stake at Gazprom? Are you going to develop the Yamal fields like Bovanenkovo and others, or continue the Yudanska group of fields and fields in the Yamal-Nenets district upon the whole? And my second question about the gas transportation system. As you are now trying to minimize your transit risks, in the midterm, which pipelines are you going to deliver, or will you have to deliver in Russia in order to feed gas to the Turk Stream or Nord Stream pipelines? Mr. Markelov, first of all, our priority is to deliver sufficient resource base to consumers connected to unified to the gas transportation system in Russia and abroad. This covers Nord Stream and Turk Stream. Certainly fields earmarked for those pipelines are now under development. The Yamal fields, the Nadym-Vortaz region fields, and our priority is certainly to develop fields of Chayanda and Kavikta to feed natural gas to China. And another priority, yet another priority, is Sakhalin 3 group fields to ensure gas supplies to the Russian Far East, and the Barents and Karsk Sea fields are also going to be included into the core production base for Russia. Other projects, existing or prospective projects, vary depending on the implementation stages. For Bovanenkovo Ukhta, we have commissioned the second string of the trunk line and two compressor stations. The Bovanenkovo Ukhta pipeline is still seeing additions of compressor stations to ensure gas deliveries down the northern transportation corridors. For Ukhta-Torzhok 2, we're also running construction. This year, we're going to commission 578 kilometers of the pipeline. Before, our target was 500. Now, it's 578. The target has been increased. That's That pipeline is to be commissioned in 2019. We're also going to expand the European transportation corridor from Grazovets to Volkhov and Slovenskom. Now we are commencing work of operations to actually commission the pipeline section in 2018, 2019. As for the Turk Stream in Russia, we have delivered all the required capabilities with a total capacity of 31.5 billion cubic meters. Now we are running offshore sea works, you know them. As for the Power of Siberia, we are running ahead of schedule, reconsidering our targets on the Power of Siberia construction to increase our targets in China, which I have mentioned. We have discussed this with a view of supplying gas and constructing that trunk line jointly, simultaneously with the Chinese party. Again, we're now running ahead of schedule. Now the pace has somewhat slowed down due to the spring flooding season in Yakutia, but I hope soon we will recover our momentum to deliver the Power of Siberia on time ahead of schedule. Speaking of the mic, a follow-up. So, can you reconsider your volume delivery guidance in terms of construction of the Power of Siberia this year, Mr. Markelov? As yet, we haven't achieved our target this year. As soon as we achieve the target, then we will see whether we will increase the target or not. The next question is from Salikard. Alexei Miller once said that Gazprom uses most cutting-edge technologies to produce gas. So could you give us some more color? I read, for example, that in the South Kirinskaya field, you use underwater production of natural gas. Is that true? How successful is the technology, and is it possible to use this kind of technologies in the Arctic areas of Russia? And another question about the Yamal. Last year, the most successful projects of Gazprom in Yamal, what are they, and what are your core prospective projects in that territory? Thank you. Mr. Markelov, I want to say that the Okhotsk Sea offshore projects are really run with the help of underwater production techniques. And since 2014, gas over there has been produced with the help of those technologies, and the underwater gas production technology is going to be applied at the South Kirinskaya field as well. This is the cheapest, the most efficient technology for production at offshore fields. As for our traditional, conventional fields, so to speak, we, together with our technology partner Shell, visited the Bovanenkovo field, and our partners from Shell were surprised with the degree of advancement of Russian technologies applied over there. It was a pleasant surprise to them. They were impressed with how sophisticated our production technologies are. When we visited the control room, our colleagues spent around 40 minutes in the control room, and during 40 minutes, there was no single emergency signal in the control room. According to their standards at Shell, it happens typically every 20 minutes. At our field, it didn't happen for the whole of 40 minutes, which speaks for safety and reliability of our technologies used. Another question about the Yamal. Could you please also share your prospective plans and some recent success achievements of Gazprom, the most significant ones? Mr. Markelov, you know, we're at Yamal, we commissioned, not just block number two, but block number one as well. They have now reached their nameplate capacity with a daily production rate of 264 million cubic meters, and we have been running for a long period of time with this daily rate. Then block three is underway, and these three blocks are going to make the core of our production operations going forward. And Kara-Saveh and the Tambeyskoye group of fields are also our core fields. The next question is from Interfax. I got a question about Росгазодобыча. Another one. Why do you need such a partner at Gazprom? Could you please give us some color on their expertise in terms of upstream and downstream? Do you think Росгазодобыча has better competences than Gazprom does? And if yes, then in what sphere? Then how can you arrange the mechanics of cooperation between Gazprom and Росгазодобыча in the Надым-Пурсас region? Can it be an SPV to work with LNG, with wet gas, or is it going to be a sale of equity stake to Росгазодобыча at a local operating company? Mr. Markelov, you were a bit late, and these questions have already been answered. Sorry. Next question is from RIA Novosti. When are you going to start producing at the Centralnaya field or Central field? Which production target do you have, and how much have you invested or are going to invest this year into that field? Speaker, this is a Caspian Sea field we're going to develop jointly with our Kazakhstan partners. Now, we have obtained a license for the Central field. It took us quite a long time to obtain that license because we had to settle a number of international matters with Kazakhstan. Now, that field is within the oil-producing competences of Gazprom-Neft, so this field has been transferred from Gazprom to Gazprom-Neft. According to our license agreements, before 2024, which means within 8 years of the license date, we have to deliver project design documents to produce the field, to produce hydrocarbons from the field. As yet, not the documents have not been drafted. We still need to drill another prospecting and appraisal well. You know that the Caspian Sea is a closed-loop water body. So in terms of drilling, the capabilities are limited. So we are queuing, so to speak. We have booked the possibility of drilling there with the platforms available. So I hope within 2 years we will drill the well, deliver a project development design after that, and start producing probably post 2024. This is all I can say from the top of my head now. The next question is from Argus Media. I get a couple of questions. First, Bovanenkovo, winter of 2017-2018, how much are you going to produce daily as a maximum? And in total for Gazprom, not just for Bovanenkovo. So, how much are you going to produce daily at Bovanenkovo and Gazprom as a whole in winter 2017-2018? And the second question is, are you going to start any prospecting and appraisal drilling at your South Kirinskaya? And are you going to do any exploration at the South Lunskaya field? This is my second question. And my third question, when are you going to file for reserve approval from the South Nabisk group of fields. You said 4.1 trillion. Is it C1, C2? And where are you going to add more reserves? At which of the five fields? Mr. Markelov, let me start and my colleagues join. So it's 1,554,000,000 for our daily production capabilities. Follow up. That's now. And how much are you planning? Mr. Markelov, this is our guidance. This is the starting point. So 1.5 billion daily. This is our production capabilities. Besides, we're running underground gas storage operations. So we are also taking due account of bigger underground gas storage deliveries in the upcoming winter, because last winter the offtake from underground gas storage facilities was quite massive. And this year winter has been cold, long, and besides, it's still going on. Recently, it's snowed heavily. So winter is not over. And gas offtakes are still quite high, both in Russia and abroad. So given our fields and underground gas storage facilities, we will prepare the necessary capabilities to cover the winter of 2017 to 2018. A follow-up. Do I understand that the maximum is 1.5 billion daily? And probably it will be increased due to underground gas storage facilities. Then this is a question for Oleg. How much are you going to add to your underground gas storage volumes? Vyacheslav Mykolenko. We are still actively expanding underground gas storage operations. In Kaliningrad, Volgograd, we are completing operations at Pungo. And talking about active working volumes in Russia, then we are in excess of 72 billion cubic meters, 72.2 billion. And in winter, we're going to have 803 million cubic meters for maximum daily deliverability to level out peak consumption in any period of time. So in total, you're going to deliver in excess of 72 billion cubic meters into the underground facilities, right? Yes, and recently, last winter, the withdrawal was very high, in excess of 47 billion cubic meters. It was a record high level. And the question about Yuzhno as well. Mr. Cherepanov, we're going to achieve 318 million cubic meters daily. And at Bavanenkovo, the nameplate daily production is 360 million cubic meters with block 3 included, when it is included, meaning follow. So is the timeline 2019-2020? Answer, yes, that's right. A follow-up, and what about late 2018? Answer, for late 2018, it's 318. Follow-up, and what about Gazprom's total? Mr. Cherepanov, as Mr. Markelov has said, that's around 1.5 billion cubic meters for daily production, because the number fluctuates sometimes. And in South Kirinsky, we're going to keep drilling. We have an eastern well planned over there. Investment is earmarked at about 10 billion rubles. As for Salthunskaya field, where we booked 4 to 8 billion cubic meters. We're not going to drill anymore because we already know the borders of the gas deposits quite well, so we don't need any more prospecting and appraisal works. As for Tambay, the Tambayska group of fields, we have already drilled for prospective and appraisal wells. So we've booked already about 300 billion cubic meters, and ahead, I mean, the amount we're going to file for reserves is the next year's story. We have made calculations, we have justifications, we have results of geological studies. The results are composed of both drilling and geophysical operations. So in total, we have three fields, which is the Tambayska cluster group of fields, North, West Tambayska, and Tasiska field. So based on the results of our work in terms of exploration geophysics on the lower Jurassic horizon, this deposit, this field is going to make one and the same formation. So it's one single giant natural gas deposit. And as for chalk deposits, over there we have three hydrodynamically isolated natural gas formations. Hence, this increase in reserves, a big exploration area, a lot of reflecting events, a lot of formation layers, so big amounts of natural gas. Follow up. Do I get you right that this year you're going to drill those fields? Several Cherepanov, we keep drilling and we're going to do so. Like one well per field per year. That's in drilling. And older wells are now migrating to the test stage. So on average, we have kind of two wells per field, one under test and one under drilling. Next question from Reuters. I also get a couple of questions, if I may. What's the total investment in the South Kirinskaya field, according to your estimates? My second question is about Sakhalin 2 Train 3. How much are you going to invest in total? Are you going to engage any Japanese or other international partners to develop the field or to finance the project? And Baltic LNG, do you have any specific agreements with Shell on that project? Speaker, Sakhalin 2 is unfortunately not a subject of this press conference. Let's discuss it on the 8th of June, okay? Vitaly Markelov, Baltic LNG, we have signed a memorandum with Shell about possible engagement of Shell in that project. Now we are meeting and talking to our colleagues from Shell about their possible participation in the project. Shell is our high-profile partner, our good, strong technology partner, and we'll keep collaborating. So I think we'll update you in due course. So we do have a memorandum signed. This is basically it, what we can say for now. Any other questions? The next question is from RBC. Second round of RBC. Can we get back to the power of Siberia? So this is a project to deliver gas to China, and you know, China has made a breakthrough in gas hydrate production. They have announced it as a big-time event. So do you see it as a competitive factor to the Russian gas, or is it too early to speak about any commercial production of gas hydrates? The Chinese partners claim they have made a successful experiment and they are ready to go. The second question is the following. I understand that we're optimizing some infrastructure projects, and it's been in the press that Gazprom is going to migrate to EPC from general contractor schemes. What's the timeline indicatively? Is it phased out? How are you going to do it? And do you have any contractors apart from your established ones like Seabor and others? Do you have any other alternative contractors having the required competences? Speaker, the first question will be discussed on the 8th of June because that's about China. Mr. Markelov will answer that post Silk Way. Yeah. We've really had a big forum, and we did talk to CNPC, our Chinese partners, colleagues, to we discussed the power of Siberia. In particular, we discussed what we are going to do in our territory, what they're going to do in their territory. This is a large, complex, and complicated project. We are fully on track. We are delivering to the contract, and so the Chinese side will offtake gas from the power of Siberia. Whatever is happening in the Southern Sea, the Chinese side is obliged to offtake gas from the power of Siberia. So they will. Certainly, there is a lot in the press, but you know, from the press announcement to real production and implementation, there is a huge gap. We do not understand the cash costs, the real competitive advantages of the new thing, so let's see. As for EPC, I can say that Gazprom is already working under EPC structures. We are constructing an LNG plant at Portovaya, and we are constructing our largest Amur gas processing plant under that scheme. The Amur gas processing plant is constructed jointly with Seabor's subsidiary. When it comes to huge, comprehensive, complex projects, we do need required competences. Complex competences, and we are working in this direction. Each and every project is considered based on its relevance, importance, significance, and degree of complexity. Hence, we take our decisions. Today, we are running projects based on investment contracts, agency structures, and EPC structures. So, this is the universe of schemes we're using to deliver, to construct our projects. The next question is from Energy Intelligence. Thanks a lot. I get a follow-up on the Tambeyskoye group of fields. Again, after several of Черепанов told us the story, I also thought about some extra questions. Do you understand that it's mainly about the Jurassic formations, why you added reserves? And besides, I understand there is the Malyginskoye field nearby. Are you going to develop that? Are you going to do it jointly with partners? Are you going to deliver any gas chemistry, any LNG projects over there? And besides, I failed to catch the number of reserves. Was it C1, C2? And my last question is, where are you now with developing the Chayanda field, and what are you going to do this year? Mr. Markelov, follow up. In terms of for Chayanda, is it about exploration or production? What's the question about? Journalist, well, all in all, like, what are you going to do this year comprehensively? Mr. Markelov, Chayanda is the resource base for the power of Siberia, so we are doing a lot and at a large scale at Chayanda, both in terms of drilling and construction, infrastructure construction. Gazprom Burenia, Gazprom Drilling is running ahead of schedule in terms of drilling works. We are now delivering works at the oil deposit border of that field. Recently, we took a site visit, and I can confirm that the work is on track. We're delivering well clusters, bypass roads, all the required infrastructure is being delivered now to ensure smooth operations of the project. Mr. Cherepanov, let me follow up on Chaianda. This year, we're going to drill one well with a sub-horizontal ending. Going forward, we will drill 4 to 5 wells at the edges of this deposit, at the border of this field, in order to grasp a better understanding and the production and hydrocarbon profile of that field. As for Tambay, 6.7 trillion we're going to gradually book is for 2018 and 2019, not for this year. State Reserve Committee inspection and approval is subject to expert community approvals, and this does take a long time, so we're going to do it gradually. So, answering your question, this is C1 plus C2. Then you mentioned the Malyginskaya field, which is nearby. If we include it into the Tambeyski cluster of fields, well, it's possible, it's nearby. As to how to develop the Malyginskaya field, we do not. I can say that this must be the result of a comprehensive study. Now, that field is just at a very early stage of decision-making process. We do not yet know how we're going to use that gas, either for LNG production or for trunk line transportation. I think it will take a scan of 2 years to make all the relevant analysis and take a decision. The next question is from Interfax. A follow-up, if I may, about Росгазодобыча. So could you please explain its competences? What competences does Росгазодобыча have, and how do you assess your experience in terms of cooperating with small and medium businesses? Are SMEs capable of delivering to contracts, and do they engage subcontractors, probably from the large construction universe, so to speak? Several Cherepanov. You are anyway based on the memorandum signed. Any memorandum is a declaration. That's not about detailed mechanics, that's about high-level principles, partners, and high-level missions of work. So, Росгазодобыча is an SPV established in order to have an opportunity to produce gas and use this gas at its in-house capabilities for the purpose of processing. This is quite a new company. Росгазодобыча started developing the Семаковская and Паврис group of fields together with Gazprom, with a certain target to guarantee gas offtake for gas chemical processing purposes. As for the Tambeyski group of fields, Росгазодобыча is one of the possible partners. We signed a memorandum with them for a pre-investment stage. They bear a relevant financial burden to draft the required documents, to deliver the necessary studies and analysis. So at this stage, Rosgazodobycha is responsible for financing. As and when we approach the key investment decision, then the documents signed will be of a qualitatively different nature. They will be more detailed, more binding, more significant. Now it's more about high-level intentions under the memorandum. The next question is from Vedomosti. So again, let me repeat. What can you say about your experience with small and medium enterprises? Are they capable of delivering to their commitments? Do they engage subcontractors, including big construction companies? Mr. Lebedev, Gazprom does work with SMEs to implement investment projects at pipelines and development sites. This is according to the Russian law. The SMEs are capable of delivering to their commitments, including commitments on timing. For example, we are running a trunk line project in the Nadimpurtas region. With four SMEs engaged, we have no remarks to their delivery whatsoever. They are delivering to their commitments. Does that answer your question? Another question. When are you going to commission the Chaianda field? Or when are you going to take the decision? Mr. Markelov, that's a contract. We cannot disclose it. Another question. Is Gazprom interested in its possible participation in the tender for the Gdansk, for Gdansk gas field? Have you applied for that? Several Cherepanov. If you read the detailed conditions of the tender for Gdansk field, then it says that it is for companies who operate in the territory of Yamal and Gdan and have LNG capabilities constructed in the territory of Yamal. The only company in the world meets those conditions. You know the name of the company. Mr. Markelov, let me also take that question about Chaianda. I understand you're asking a lot of questions about the East today. That's an important focus, I understand. So we've started talking to our Chinese partners on commissioning schedule. According to the contract, we have to agree to the year of commissioning. So now we have started negotiating on that commissioning year, according to the contract. So this is a bilateral matter. It meets the interests of both Russian and Chinese sides. So we will discuss it comprehensively to cover both the Russian parts and Chinese parts of works. We have just started doing that according to the contract schedule. We held our first round of negotiations between company leaders in China. A follow-up question on Gdan, on the Gdan field. The terms and conditions of the tender restrict kind of competition. Are you going to apply to the anti-monopoly service? And could you please also give us a call on geological exploration investment target this year? Several Cherepanov, we are not going to apply to the Federal Anti-Monopoly Service. As for geological exploration, we have earmarked 79 billion, 79 billion rubles for geological exploration earmarked for this year. Moderator colleagues, we've been running for 15 minutes. Do you have any other questions? How many questions do you have? One, two, three, four, five. Just one question per person, okay? A question from NTV. Probably it's a layman question, but please tell us about the gasification of Russian regions. What have you done? How much have you done? How much did you do last year? Which regions did you focus on? And what are the prospects? Moderator, colleagues, thank you for your question, but this is not a subject of the today's conference. You will have an opportunity to discuss it on the 23rd of May at 11 a.m. Thank you. The next question is from Yamal Region. My question is about environment when you develop natural gas fields. Do you have such an expense item in your budget as environment, environmental protection, and how much are you spending to reduce environmental footprint to mitigate environmental risks? I've read it in your background executive summary that the utilization rate of associated petroleum gas amounts to 98%. What does this number mean? What's that about? Mr. Markelov, all our projects are subject to environmental studies before they are actually commenced. Before we start running the project, the government has got to be sure that all environmental laws and requirements will be met. We are using sophisticated technologies in the spheres of production and transportation, which helps Gazprom be number one in terms of environmental protection in the country. And now over to Oleg Aksutin. Oleg Aksutin, APG utilization and other matters have got to be considered jointly with energy saving. 10 years ago at Gazprom, we started our gas utilization program. Now it's being finalized. Our target is 100% rate of APG utilization, associated petroleum gas utilization. Besides, as Mr. Markelov has said, all our projects are subject to environmental studies, including our in-house corporate environmental inspections, not just to meet Russian environmental laws, but also Gazprom's internal environmental environments, which are often stricter than the Russian regulatory requirements. Besides, we have an environmental management system implemented covering all the aspects of our operations, including upstream, midstream, and construction. The environmental management system is certified to ISO 14001. We run and are subject to relevant environmental audits as per those standards. This system is designed to engage all governance levels of our vertically integrated company into addressing environmental protection matters. The only environmental inspection exists in Gazprom. We have no environmental inspections in any other companies in Russia. This inspection checks all our operations and construction projects for environmental compliance and issues relevant recommendations. As for environment protection investments, I can say that's over 30 billion rubles annually. Over 30 billion rubles annually. It's in total, that's not a single expense item in our budgets, because environmental measures are often intertwined with energy efficiency, operational excellence, and production efficiency. So it can not always be singled out. Another question from Prosperity. You know, I've read that at Bavanenkovo-Ukhta trunk line you use some technologies allowing to supply up to 60 billion cubic meters of gas down just single string of pipeline. Now, as for your Power of Siberia, I understand the maximum capacity is 38 billion cubic meters per annum. Hypothetically, you could sign a contract to reduce to increase gas supply. Will you be able just to add gas pump and compressor stations to that field, or will you have to deliver second stream to that pipeline if need be? And now another question on Baltic LNG. When are you going? Will you have to construct any pipelines in the territory of Russia to feed gas to Baltic LNG, or is there this required infrastructure already existing? Mr. Markelov, Bovanenkovo Ukhta is the most sophisticated, most advanced trunk line globally. The working pressure is 120 atmospheres. The diameter is 1,420 millimeters. The working pressure is much higher than on older pipelines. A trunk pipeline is not just a pipe, that's compressor stations, higher pressure, various equipment, and gear types. This all is intended for big throughput rates and high pressure. The Power of Siberia has the pressure of 100 atmospheres, and the final section is 120 atmospheres because the transportation level is quite high from the plants to the Chinese border. Hence, we have decided to use a higher pressure. As for expanding the Power of Siberia, we are going to gradually commission compressor stations and construct loopings at the sections of this trunk line. If there is a need to expand the capability, the capacity of that pipeline, we will deliver additional loopings and compressor stations. Mr. Markelov continues, as for the Baltic LNG, this is our new project, and today we are now working to supply gas down Nord Stream 2. And so the capacity is earmarked for Nord Stream 2. So if we need more capacity, we will construct compressor stations, or if that's not enough, then extra loopings. The next question is from Argus Media. I got a question on underground gas storage facilities. You said that by next winter you are going to boost the overall working capacity and daily deliverability. And by 2020, do you have any indicative targets? If you have those, could you please share, give us just some color? Total capacity and daily deliverability. Now we have our own UGS development program. We are expanding and delivering new underground gas storage facilities, and by 2020, I think we'll reach 841 million cubic meters for daily offtake, for daily deliverability. We will include Kaliningrad and Volgograd UGS with smaller volumes but higher deliverability peaks. So by 2020, you're going to already commission Kaliningrad and Volgograd UGS facilities. Is that right? Question, that's right. Answer, that's right. Another question. A question from Anga John of Russia. Now, various gadgets and new technologies are popular to ensure security and production assets. Rosneft, Transneft are using drones to secure their assets. Is Gazprom going to do anything of the kind? Mr. Markelov, you know, we're more advanced there. I will be happy to share. According to the rules of operation of trunk lines, we have to monitor the facilities using helicopters. Today, we have redrafted those documents to use a more comprehensive approach Today, we are using drones to monitor our pipelines, trunk lines. This is not easy work. This is phased out. And besides, we have introduced a space satellite based system called SMOTR. So we use drones and space satellite based observation to monitor the condition of our project. Journalist, can you share a funny case? Mr. Markelov, well, would be happy to, but talking seriously, using this kind of technologies today helps us understand, much better understand, not just the security picture around those fields, but also the environmental footprint. To help, we using this kind of technologies, we are monitoring all the aspects of technical operation of those pipelines to faster respond to any changes. Now the space observation system watches all our sea vessels in Yamal. You can use your mobile cell phone to talk, or even satellite linked phone to talk. Our space satellite based observation capabilities help to watch the security perimeter of our pipelines to identify illegal taps, any other illegitimate works done in the territory of our pipelines, or other action we would like to stop. So we are using space monitoring technologies. We're very active in that sphere. We're going to launch another two satellites before 2020. We're expanding our satellite fleet to provide both monitoring capabilities and satellite-based communications. We're going to use an advanced optical satellite to take pictures of the subject territories to be able to confirm this or that fact identified. So you've mentioned drones. We're using drones, but we're using much more. Moderator colleagues, this does conclude our press conference. Thank you. See you on Tuesday at 11 a.m. and we'll be discussing natural gas supply to the Russian regions and gasification.